Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
I don't usually use this cliche, but what did we learn from last week?
A win is a win.
Is that all?
I matched your cliche with my cliche. No, I think there were a couple things you could take from this game. It was another kind of bogged down, sloppy dogfight, but I think the pass protection and the run defense both took nice steps forward. Now, they should have, probably. I don't think it was the greatest matchup for the opponent, but I think those are two areas we can say if they build on that, that's a good sign moving forward.
And I think that's important because even though those aren't the things that have necessarily drawn the most attention in terms of defense anyway. The run defense hasn't been getting as much criticism as the secondary has, but it's been spotty, and they've struggled. And the Jets wanted to run the ball. They just couldn't. So let's take that improvement there and see if they can start stringing some weeks together on that side. The other side, I think, is enormous because they haven't been able to protect the passer at all, and I thought they did a pretty good job against the Jets.
Another thing that I think I saw and maybe learned in the last game that I think might affect this game coming up against the Falcons is Tom Brady's banged up. I know they took him off the injury report this week, but I think that shoulder might be affecting him, if it's just the shoulder.
Yeah, I think that there was some signs the last few weeks that his accuracy hasn't always been perfect, and I thought against the Jets was the most glaring. He was down, close to 50%, which is way, way down for him. And I thought he had opportunities to make some plays. I thought he had Dorsett open a couple of times down the field. One was short. I thought one was over the wrong shoulder. He was sort of late and high going across the middle to Chris Hogan on the play that he took a big shot to the ribs. I thought it was a really strange throw on the sideline on a wheel route to James White that was in the air forever.
Fair catch it.
Yeah, some questionable throws, some questionable decisions. And again, back to the pass protection. I thought the pass protection was much better. But I don't necessarily think Tom looked like he felt as comfortable with that protection. Understandable, given the hits that he's taken, but maybe it's going to take some time for him to sort of settle back down in the pocket and throw like we know he can.
So what does this all mean going into this Falcons game, this Sunday night showdown? I know a lot of people are talking
rematch.
About
Super Bowl rematch.
It's not a Super Bowl rematch.
Did these two teams play in the Super Bowl?
This is not the
Super
Bowl.
Are they playing again?
This is not the Super Bowl. It's not a rematch of the Super Bowl.
I apologize for that.
It means that there are still a lot of questions for both teams. I mean, I think both teams are in similar spots. They're coming off a Super Bowl, so they're supposed to be one of the best teams in football, and they haven't lived up to it. There's been some consistency issues for both teams. There's been injuries that have led to maybe some of those consistency issues. But the Brady thing is the thing that I'm most focused on. And I don't know whether it's the injury, the pass rush, or if he's still trying to figure out what they are. And he's mentioned that a couple times in recent weeks in his radio interviews. And I almost I said this to Paul during the game. He had a look of resignation on the bench in New York. He was kind of sitting down, pouting, looking down in front of him. And I still think he's trying to figure out how good they are on offense, who he can rely on other than Gronk, obviously, and what they're going to, where they're going to go as an offense.
It's so much, has to do with trust. And, we don't want to belabor the fact that Julian Edelman is not playing. But, when Julian was out there with Gronk, those are two guys I know I can go to. Gronk's there. But then after that, I think he has questions. And, I love that Cooks had that big over-the-shoulder catch downfield. But, those are downfield shots that you can't, always rely on throughout the game.
Yeah, you'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent at or around the line of scrimmage. Quick slants he's had some trouble with. The screens, he hasn't really done a ton with after the catch. He seems like he drops one short ball a game. Andy likes to use the phrase, seems like a run under the ball kind of a guy rather than maybe a natural hands catcher in traffic. Because, I had mentioned there's too many drops. A lot of big plays, love the explosiveness, loves the yards per catch, but the consistency may be a little lacking. I thought in the second half there was a couple of times where he made some big, but one particular on 3rd and 13, great sign. Let Brady get to him on third down and start developing that confidence that when I have to have it, he's an option too. Doesn't have to be Gronk every time. Doesn't have to be Amendola every time.
Yeah.
By the way, that's one thing we learned too. We kind of probably Gronk. I mean, he missed a game in between, but this is now four straight weeks with, I think, four total touchdowns, two in this game, up over 80, 85 yards. When you need plays, when it's third and 11, he gets you the first down. Gronk is Gronk right now, and you ride that as long as you can.
You need somebody in the backfield, too, and right now it looks like Deion Lewis has emerged as maybe the number one guy back there.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think Gillislee has also run better the last couple weeks, but he fumbled, and we know that is a cardinal sin for Bill Belichick. He got back out there. He had sort of that short stretch where, you know, is he in the doghouse or what? Got back out there. He first fumble as a Patriot, only second of his career, so he's not a fumbler, so to speak, but I mean, we've said all along that Deion Lewis might be your best all-around back. Run, catch, do everything you want. Look back to 2015, the way they used him then. I don't think it's a bad idea to see if that can work again.
And I'd like to see him actually get involved more in the passing game.
Right, but I don't want to just say, Gillislee and White, you're no longer part of this.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
A little more Lewis, a little less maybe of each of them, but still have those guys involved, because you're going to need all of them moving forward.
Yeah, like I said, I'd like to see a little bit more Lewis, not necessarily just as a runner, but you know, get him involved in that short passing catch. Because if you go back to 15, when he was just absolutely lights out, a lot of his explosive plays happen in space.
Yep.
And I'd like to try to get him in space.
Yeah, you know what? Another thing about Gillislee that I thought it was interesting was Belichick talking. I know you don't like the whole Super Bowl thing, but Belichick, and he talked about Bill showing them highlights of the Super Bowl, and the blunt fumble was one of the plays that Gillislee talked about. It really hit home to him because he had just fumbled in the Jets game, and ball security is such a major point for Belichick. I mean, all coaches,
especially in a game where you're going to have to score a lot of points. Yeah. Every
you can't afford to give away a possession. I thought that was really interesting that Gillislee talked about that, and it's on his mind. Let's see if he can make sure that was just a one-off and nothing to worry about.
And every Patriots game this year, not just because it's the Falcons, I think the offense should feel like you need to score points.
Yeah.
Till they figure it out over there, we need to be up near 30 or above 30 every week.
There can't be any wasted drives.
Nope.
It's going to be a wild night Sunday night.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we look at the Patriots' run defense. We mentioned it earlier, their best performance of the year against the Jets, but a much bigger challenge this week. The Atlanta Falcons, fourth in the NFL in yards per carry, 4.8 yards per carry as a team. Devontae Freeman is averaging 4.5 yards a carry. Tevin Coleman up over 5 yards a carry. And it's not just up the middle. So yes, Allen Branch, Malcolm Brown, you need to be better, but setting the edge will be critical. Whether that's your defensive ends, Wise and Flowers, it could be Dante Hightower. Those guys need to keep those outside runs from getting the corner and picking up yards in chunks. Run defense. The pass defense has their issues to work out, but if you can become consistent, that'll be a strength of this defense that it can lean on.
When the Patriots decided to let LeGarrette Blount go, there were few people around New England that were more excited about that than I was. But so far, I was wrong. I thought Mike Gillislee would be a little bit more explosive and give the Patriots an opportunity to make some big plays in the run game, and that just hasn't really happened so far. He's been okay. He's been good at the goal line, but he hasn't really delivered a lot of big plays. So I think it's time to turn the running game over to Deion Lewis full time. I think he is more explosive, he's more electric, and he's showing the power to run the ball between the tackles. He hasn't had a lot of carries so far this year, so he's still fresh. I think it's time for Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, lean on Deion Lewis, give him the ball, and let everybody else fill in accordingly.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we're going to break down this Super Bowl rematch of two teams that are struggling a little bit to start the new season. So, Paul Perillo, who's in more of a need to win this game on Sunday night?
I think it's Atlanta, and I think there's a lot of different factors, but not the least of which is mental. I think that you come off that Super Bowl loss, epic collapse. You have the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, and then you follow that up, Andy, with several blown leads to start the season. I think that they're really searching for it. They need to find a way to turn this around early on, or it's going to be a lost season in Atlanta.
I think some people thought it was going to be a lost season in Atlanta. Thought they might be broken, lose their coordinator, the loser hangover that a lot of Super Bowl teams have.
Right.
No one expected the Patriots to struggle out of the gates and to be maybe a broken team almost midway through the season. But guess what? You could be winless at Gillette Stadium this year. You needed to pull one out to not be winless at Gillette Stadium. You are struggling against, I don't know, Josh McCown. Now you're facing the NFL MVP. You're almost at the midway point here where people might just say, they're not that good. That defense is not fixable. You have an opportunity at hand here with Matt Ryan and a struggling Falcons offense, but guess what? If you go out and shut them out, hold them in check, not shut them out, hold them in check.
I know what you meant. I wasn't going to hold you.
People will say, that's a good performance against a good offense. The Patriots need this game to dig out of this mini hole, mini slump they're in.
Yeah, listen, both teams need the win. I mean, I don't think that's arguable, but you know, for me, the Patriots still have the advantage of being in the AFC East, a division that they're probably going to win almost regardless of what their record. I mean, how many losses can New England realistically end up with? They're not going any worse than, say, 10-6. That's going to be plenty to win the division. Atlanta doesn't have that luxury. They have Carolina in their division. I mean, even New Orleans is playing better football. They're not guaranteed to win the division, nor are they guaranteed to get a playoff spot. They need to find a way to get some wins. And I know that you don't really like the mental aspect of this, the whole element here.
Oh, their spirit is broken, and because they lost a game in February, they can't win games in October.
No. Not because they
lost a game in February. Oh, I'm going to drop this ball because I lost last February.
But part of the reason I think that they're having troubles protecting leads is because
ghosts.
That's in their head. Yes,
a Super Bowl
ghosts.
Lost.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
And you might pretend that it's just
spirits.
In a vacuum, and these guys go out there and play, and they have nothing to do with confidence or anything other than just ability. If that were true, the better team would win every game.
You know what I'm concerned with? The confidence of the Patriots. I saw Tom Brady spending a lot of time on the bench in New York looking a little bit like a broken man. And I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. I saw him with his hands on his knees looking down, and that concerns me because if 12 is sort of pulled out of this or doesn't feel like this is going in the right direction, that's a bad sign for the rest of the year. The defense
has
its own
issues. Mentally, if he's not as sharp as he might be, it might not be the best
for his performance. I think he's just realized this team might not be as good
right.
as it's supposed to
I
be.
I agree.
So it's not his attitude that's sinking the ship. It's the fact that they can't win games. And if you lose another game at Gillette Stadium, struggle in another game at Gillette Stadium, the home crowd is already doubting. We deal with it all the time on PFW in Progress.
Yep.
We emails. They are shaken right now as a fan base. You can't come out and lay an egg on Sunday night football, the whole country watching, because guess what that does? That just opens up the whole league even more. And people say, whoa, the Patriots might really be dead. There's an opportunity to win a Super Bowl this year for us.
Yeah.
They're not the champion anymore.
Yeah, that part of it I agree with. And I think that if the Patriots don't have a better performance here, it is going to send a message to the rest of the league. Okay, this is a whole half a season here,
yep.
and the Patriots still don't look right. This is an opportunity for us. But the difference for me is the Patriots have the ability with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They've done this before where they've been able to turn things around. And they've been able to show through history, again, not in 2017,
right.
but based on history, that they can overcome some sluggish periods of play and get it right when it needs to. Atlanta hasn't shown that. That's why I think this game is more important for Atlanta. This is the springboard that they need. If they lose this game, they're going to just sit there and look at themselves and say, we're just not good enough. This season, it's not going to happen for us, and I think it's going to go down the toilet. Now, you might say that's because they're not good enough. I don't think that it's a talent problem in Atlanta. I think it's a mental problem. I think the Patriots have both right now. They have some talent issues on that front seven, but I think they're struggling mentally as well. I think it's a more important game for Atlanta. The Patriots, I know, will turn it around.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
The previously winless Giants pulled off a huge upset last Sunday, downing the Denver Broncos in Denver. Before the game, it was announced that Giants head coach Ben McAdoo was handing over offensive play calling to his coordinator, Mike Sullivan. That's a big move for a head coach. Most don't like to admit the system they set up isn't working. And it's not like McAdoo isn't a good play caller. He did it with success under former head coach Tom Coughlin. But the Giants were in a free fall. Between an 0-5 record, key injuries, and off-field issues, McAdoo's duties as head coach were overshadowing his role as a play caller. As Bill Belichick would say, he did what was in the best interest of his team. In this case, what was best for his team was to put his ego aside and delegate. At least for 1 week, the result was positive. Next, the Giants take on the Seahawks Sunday, and that's a test for any offense. But I'm not going to be surprised at all if the Giants come away with their second win of the season.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room here at Gillette Stadium, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown. And Malcolm, run defense, you guys coming off, I think, what you would agree was your best performance of the year. How do you feel like you guys played against the Jets?
We just went out and tried to attack them and just try to be aggressive, you know, follow the game plan.
I know we always use the phrase a work in progress for a lot of things, mm-hmm. offense, defense, special teams. Has the run defense been a work in progress, and are you seeing the progress you want to see?
Definitely it's a work in progress, still a work in progress. Still have many milestones to hit, you know. We still have so many goals. I wouldn't say it is where we want it to be, but we got to continue to work at it.
And obviously this week against the Falcons, there's a challenge there. They like to run the football. I think they're averaging 4.8 yards per carry. What do you see from that group and that offensive line?
Hard workers, they finish blocks, and, you know, quick. The backs are physical, downhill runners, and they're real good outfit.
Alex Mack is a guy, their center, who I think a lot of people would say is one of the better centers in football. When you watch him on tape and you face him, what do you see?
Athletic guy, you know, quick, smart, know how to use his body, know how to position his body in places. Really good player.
What if I asked you the same question? When you look at you on tape, what do you see? How would you describe yourself as a defensive tackle and a defensive lineman?
I look at myself on film. I don't look at the good things. So I wouldn't be able to describe to you. I look at the bad things, something I can fix.
So what are those things you need to work on then?
There's a lot of things. just got to continue watching film and just continue to work at things that the coaches tell me I need to work at and things I feel like I need to get better at myself.
You're in your third season here, and I wonder, is that a point where you're a leader, a veteran? You know, where do you fit in sort of the hierarchy of this team and this defense?
I just try to be there for guys, you know, if they have any questions or if I can help out any way I can. That's how I see myself in this defense. You know, there's a lot of great leaders on this team. I don't consider myself one. I try to contribute however I can. I try to help my team myself however I can.
And as you fit in with that leadership hierarchy, I know one thing it seems like some people have bristled at is the idea that this is a Super Bowl rematch on Sunday night. It's the Falcons, it's the Patriots. Those were the two teams in the Super Bowl. But is it a rematch?
Definitely not a rematch. That's an old game. Really don't want to talk about it. But new players, new team, new year, you know. So, well, same year, but late on in the year. But, I mean, different seasons. So, you know, it was last season. This is this season. So we were focused on this game and going out there to play them as this year's Falcons. Not last year. Not focused on that game.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's that time of the show when we answer the questions that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. The first one comes from Eddie Sandoval. It's a good baseball name, Eddie Sandoval.
Hey, Panda.
Why are the coaches playing Dante Hightower at defensive end? This doesn't suit Hightower's strengths, and it is shown in his subpar play so far this season, Andy.
Well, I think it does suit some of his strengths that he displayed both at Alabama and, I don't know, in the Super Bowl when he helped win you a Super Bowl. Now, I think there's some question at full time as sort of an edge player. Does that hurt? Is he maybe not suited for it all the time? And it also plays into who else is on the field. You know, is Van Noy out there? Is a Landon Roberts out there? We have Shea McClellan on the horizon of being out there. So I think his versatility is his greatest strength.
Yeah. So
I definitely think sometimes he needs to be on the edge because he can make key plays that change games. We've seen that not just in the Super Bowl. So I think it's picking your spots.
And he was definitely more inside against the Jets in the most previous game.
Okay. Connor Hart writes in. Any relation? No?
Maybe.
It seemed like Matt Patricia called a number of blitzes for the defensive backs this week against the Jets, more so than usual and with good success. Do you think that was their game plan for the week or a strategy that could be employed throughout the year?
I definitely agree that it was more prevalent this week than any that I can remember, certainly this year, but even in general with the defensive back blitzes. And they had some success. They also gave up a 32-yard play on fourth down on the last drive. So, You definitely want to go risk-reward there. I think it was probably more of a game plan thing. I think probably something about the way the Jets, their personnel, McCown, maybe something that they thought he was particularly susceptible to, and it worked. In general, I like to be a little bit more aggressive on defense. I don't like to play the sit back and let them go 10, 12 plays and drive and hope that we hold them to a field goal or somehow come up with a play. I'd rather be a little bit more aggressive and try to stop. But with all the big plays they're allowing, guys, I can understand what the coaches are thinking. We're allowing big plays without blitzing. We don't necessarily want to get more aggressive. So I get that.
Chuck Moran writes in, Coach/GM Bill Belichick was often celebrated for dumping players at the right time. But I wonder if having Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, Jabal Sheard, instead of whatever he brought in free agency, would make this D the contender it used to be.
I think it's pretty much undeniable that if you had all those players on the defense, still the defense would be better. But
you also might be over the cap.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have room for all the guys that you have. So, I don't know, would Brandon Cooks be on the team if you still had Chandler Jones? Stephon Gilmore, and I know everybody's saying, oh, geez, I'd rather have those guys. But you can't just make all these moves in a vacuum. I think some of those guys, that's what Belichick has done. He's drafted, he's developed, and he hasn't been afraid to let some guys go. Now, the problem is the guys I thought he felt would replace them in the draft over the last 3-4 years, not a lot of those guys have panned out. Trey Flowers looks like one who's contributing. Malcolm Brown, really good this past game, but not so much before that. Dominique Easley, a first-round pick, no longer here. So some of those guys that I think Belichick hoped would replace some of these guys he let go in free agency haven't really panned out.
Very negative this week. We're 4-2, first place. There's still hope. Send your questions to AskPFW at Patriots.com.